Masechet Chulin, Perek Het, Mishnah Gimel. Here we'll talk about a situation where the milk was actually cooked with the meat, what we do in that situation, how we could have bitul, how we can nullify it and continue to eat it, or how it becomes a problem. Mishnah says, Tipat halav shenafla al ha'atichah. If you have a drop of milk that fell directly onto a hot slice of meat in the pot, that slice is not in the boiling soup, but on top of another slice that's in the soup. So it's not part of the soup, the rotev that's on the side. It's on top of it. Im yesh ba benoten ta'am be'ota haticha asur. If the drop of milk is large enough to give flavor to that top slice of meat on which it fell, that means the slice is not 60 times as large as the drop of milk. In that case, asur, it's forbidden. The slice where the milk fell onto is forbidden itself. It's asur. There's not enough to do the bitul to nullify it, because it's, let's say it's one part to 59 parts. So it's not enough to nullify it. And we say that there's ta'am of the milk, there's flavor of the milk in that piece of meat. The rest of the food becomes asur as well, because the first slice absorbed the milk and that slice became a problem. And that slice now turns into a haticha atzmana aset nevela, a meat and milk slice of meat. It itself is problematic. Ah, now that that slice itself is a problem, the flavor of that forbidden piece of meat, which is on top of a second piece of meat that's in the soup, that becomes a problem as well. It goes into the second slice, and that becomes a problem. And then the rest of the food in the pot becomes a problem as well. And the rest of the pot becomes asur. Even though the whole pot has 60 times or much more than 60 times the amount, the one drop of milk that fell in, everything still becomes asur. Because once the meat goes in that original slice, that becomes, the full piece becomes asur. So you need 60 keneged, that full slice of meat. Now that became a problem. So it sort of now snowballs into a much bigger problem as each piece becomes asur and asur, and then the entire pot becomes problematic. But if he stirred the pot right away after the drop of milk fell onto that top slice, so the milk never had a chance to settle onto that top slice alone and make it forbidden, but it became part of the whole entire pot. It got spread everywhere. Im yesh ba benoten ta'am be'ota kedera asur. If the drop is large enough to give flavor to the entire pot of food, then it would become forbidden. Since he stirred the pot right away, the milk doesn't settle only on that one piece, but it's considered to be part of the entire pot of food. So if the milk is less than 1/60th of the entire pot, then it would not give flavor to it unless all of the food is less than 60 times as large as the drop of milk. Next case, hakehal, an udder of a slaughtered animal. Kor'o u'motzi et halavo. What a person does is she cut it open and then remove its milk. What he does is he cuts it from top to bottom and then side to side. He makes these holes in it, then he presses it against the wall to squeeze out the milk. He's allowed to then take the udder and cook it with other pieces of meat and eat them, even though there's remnants of milk that remain in the udder. On a Torah biblical level, the milk that's inside the udder of a slaughtered animal is allowed to be cooked with meat and then eaten. The Torah tells us that lo tebashel gedi behalev imo, in its mother's milk. That tells us that only milk that comes from an animal that's still fit to be a mother, that means that's still fit to be alive, is where it becomes an isur. But if there's milk remaining inside a slaughtered animal, can't become a mother anymore, then it's permissible. But Hachamim did make a decree, and they said that the milk that comes from an udder should not be eaten with milk, so that people won't do the same when it comes to regular milk. So they said that a person should do his due diligence to make sure to take out all of the milk by cutting the udder and squeezing the milk out. But if there's a little bit of milk left in there, it's permitted to be eaten with meat. There's no nervousness over there. A guy did his best in order to get everything out. So here, he removes the milk. He then could take the udder and eat it with other pieces of meat, even though there are still remnants of milk inside of the other. Lo kera'o. if he did not open up the udder, cut it open and remove the milk, but he cooked the udder itself, eno over alav. He doesn't do anything wrong. He didn't do anything wrong. He did not violate the Torah, not even a dirabanan. When Hachamim said that you're not allowed to eat the milk that's in the udder, it was only talking about with other meat. But with the meat of the udder itself, there would be no problem in that situation, even though the Mishnah used the Lashon of eno over alav. He doesn't violate anything, which would seem that it's like a bide'avad. It's the lakat tehila. In the best scenario, he shouldn't do this. We say it's still permitted to eat it like it is. There's no concern that he's going to end up eating regular meat and milk because of this. Halev, kor'o u'motzi'e damo, the heart of a slaughtered animal, before a person is allowed to eat the heart, he has to cut it open and remove the blood from it. The blood that's in the heart is forbidden to eat because it's dam, because it's regular blood. After he removed the blood from the heart, he could prepare to eat the heart as he would prepare to eat any other piece of meat. Lo kera'o, if he did not cut open the heart and remove the blood, eno over alav. He does not violate any prohibition with this. What we mean is he doesn't get karet for doing this, but it's definitely forbidden to eat the blood that's in the heart. So we only mean he doesn't get karet for eating the blood. If someone places the meat of a bird, of a chicken, for example, with cheese on a table, does not put himself in a situation where he may violate a negative commandment. Where if he's not allowed to put bird meat with cheese on the table, like we learned in the first Mishnah of this Perek. But he can't come possibly to violate a biblical prohibition in this situation where cooking meat with milk and eating them is not a violation on a biblical level, like the next Mishnah will say. So we're just setting that up, that he's not allowed to do this, like we explained, but even if he did, there's no way he could possibly violate a deoraita for this.